I didn't think of that, you know.
A very good morning to everyone, and welcome. My name is Disang Muchume, and I'm the committee secretary. I would just like to tender an apology for the chairperson who has gone overbroad, overproved the business, parliament business. In the absence of a chairperson, the rules of parliament allows for the committee to elect a acting chairperson for the meeting. So I will facilitate the election of the acting chairperson by calling on nomination and seconder to the nominee. May I ask for nomination for chairperson, acting chairperson, Honorable September? Honorable September nominates Honorable Kornoro. Honorable Van Dalen seconds the nominee.
Whoa, I wonder what does it mean?
Any other nominee? Yeah. In the absence of that, I'm going to ask Honorable Kornoro to chair the proceedings for today.
Thank you, honourable members and the executive of SAA. I feel now like last Sunday when Manchester City, one of the goalkeepers, scored that goal. Pulled up his shirt and his t-shirt said, "Why me?" So I feel why me to sit in this chair. But thank you for the confidence. First of all, welcome to all members of the portfolio committee to this meeting, to the chairperson, the CEO, chairperson of the board of the SAA, and your senior management. You're most welcome. To all other members of the media, PMG, the personnel from the Department of Public Enterprises, the Minister's Office, you're all welcome. We have two items on the agenda today. One is the annual report of the South African Airways, and the second one is the adoption of the Budgetary Review and Recommendations Report by this committee. Now, with your permission, it's now just after 9:30. I'm going to ask that we try to finish, we first put SAA, give them the opportunity to present and interact with the report. And with your permission, I want to ask you whether you will agree that we put aside approximately 2 hours, from 9:30 to 11:30 or quarter to 11. And then the remainder of the hour or half an hour, we dedicate to the BRRR report. If it's okay with you, then we will proceed on that basis. First of all,
thank you. No, that's acceptable, sir.
You accept all that. Thank you so much. And then a special word of welcome to SAA. This is your opportunity today to interact with Parliament on your annual report. On the two previous occasions, Chairperson, I can remember quite clearly you had on your plate quite a number of challenges. And I'm very glad to say that when I looked at this report, I could see a lot of significant progress you made in the last financial year. And we want to congratulate you on that. There are some challenges still remaining, but I'm sure you will highlight it to the committee. So we're looking forward to your presentation, and thereafter we're going to ask members give them the opportunity to interact with you. First of all, I'm going to ask the members of Parliament to introduce themselves. Then I'm going to hand over to you, and you can introduce your team, and then immediately you can go into the presentation. Members, we agree?
Yes.
Thank you. My name is Gerard Koornhof, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning. My name is Chris Khululu. I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Pieter van Dalen, also a member of this committee.
My name is Connie September, a member of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Albert Mugwena, a member of the Portfolio Committee.
Morning. My name is Rose Pontoff, a member of the committee.
My name is Isam Mujumi, and I'm the member of the second editor of the committee. Editor of the
committee. Member of the committee.
Can we have the other DPE and the minister's office also to introduce themselves?
Good morning, I'm Edwin Desta from DPE.
Morning, I'm Raisibeli Kula from Public Enterprises.
Just indicate for the members' benefit and SAA also your portfolios. It is myself.
I have responsibility for oversight of Transnet, SAA and SXA.
I'm the financial analyst from the RBS.
My name is Teddy Ducker. I'm non-executive director of FAA.
Good morning. My name is Wolf Meyer, CFO from SAA.
Morning. My name is Susan Zanella, the CEO of FAA.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Cheryl Carolus, and I'm the chairperson of the board of South African Airways.
Good morning. I'm Sandra Kutsier, and I head up legal risk and compliance at SAA.
Good morning. I'm Tulum Chair. I head up human resources at SAA.
Morning. I'm Dilisa Ngwetle, and I head up corporate affairs at SAA.
Morning, everyone. My name is Bukit Anna.
Good morning, my name is
Jimison,
and I'm
with TKU. Morning, my name is Tarek. We are a technical committee.
Thank you so much. We hand over to SAA. You indicated it's about 45 minutes presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Koornhof and Honourable members of the committee. We want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to interact with you. And Honourable Chairs, you have said, I think that I can say to you, at the risk of sounding immodest, that it is with a reasonable measure of pride that we as Team SAA are here today to share positive results for another year. And we believe that we are now getting on the road to sustainability. And that's notwithstanding very difficult global circumstances, particularly for airlines. We believe that South African Airways has, like South African companies in general, proven that we as an economy is robust and that our oversight instruments and institutions is capable of curbing the excesses that in fact protects us as a country and as an industry against some of the unfortunate global circumstances. And in the context of further global economic challenges and natural disasters, global airline carriers have had to rely on their shareholders and governments in many instances to bail them out. And we're very proud to say that SAA has not needed a bailout, that we have bucked this trend, and we're proud of that. It says something about ourselves and our country. And on the contrary, we have shown our second year of slow but certain green shoots of growth. We have started the process of our fleet renewal, and we've taken ownership of our new aircraft that we hope will help to position SAA even more favorably as the airline of choice, both here and internationally. And in this regard, Honorable Chair and members, Honorable Members of the Committee, we wish to really thank this committee for having taken some of their precious time out of their very tight work schedule to join our President in receiving Charlotte Makweke the first aircraft in the process of our fleet renewal. It was a great encouragement and pride to the honest and the hard-working members of our staff to see the elected representatives of all the parties turn out in the numbers that they did to acknowledge an important milestone with us. We want to thank you for that. We're also very proud to say, Mr. Chair, that we have exceeded most of our key performance indicators that was in our shareholder compact as set for us last year. The ones that we did not meet were consequences of global pressures, like the oil price increase and things like that, and CEO and CFO can speak about that, the ones that we had no control over. But even then, we performed better than our competitors, even on those KPIs. We believe that we're successfully on a road towards a culture of high performance amongst our staff, and leadership from top management has been very critical in turning that culture around. We have completed the process of recruiting a world-class team. A growing number of them are former employees, and this is something new. For the first time in a very long time, most of the promotions at South African Airways to senior management have in fact come from within our ranks. And that's a step that should have been obvious before, but it never happened. And it sends a good message to well-performing members of staff of SAA that this is a place where they can grow and aspire to grow if they perform well and they share and adhere to the values of the company as an entity and as an entity that's owned by the taxpayers of South Africa. We've also raised the bar on transformation and empowerment of South African Airways. We were appalled that SAA was a level 8 contributor at the start of our term as current board and as management. And needless to say, as a public entity, we believe that that was scandalous. We're pleased to say that we have in the past year managed to bring this up to level 5, just under level 4. We're still not satisfied with that. And we are determined to work hard at improving this significantly this year, notwithstanding the fact that large part of our spend is in overseas markets and on items like fuel. But we are challenging management to apply their minds to that. Areas of particular focus for us this year will be the employment of persons with disabilities, and a particular focus too on youth employment and youth employment opportunity creation, and in fact offering young people the chances for gaining work experience. We are keenly watching what fresh perspectives Parliament is debating that will create better enabling circumstances in these regards. We've also made progress, Mr. Chair, as you alluded to earlier, in the civil and the criminal proceedings to correct the wrongdoings identified in forensic report that was commissioned by our predecessor board. We must also say here, we've done quite a lot of work in terms of tightening up on the oversight and our ability to unmask wrongdoing, and we have unmasked more. You would see that we had laid initial criminal and civil charges. We have recently laid more, and we are convinced that we'll get more, not only against Mr. Mueller, but in fact against others, and we are pleased to announce that we have already recovered some money through our collaboration with law enforcement agencies like the Strategic Investigation Unit and the Asset Forfeiture Unit. We have in fact gotten some money back from people who walked off with money wrongfully. And that has been through the tightening of our internal processes, but also through the collaboration with other state agencies, as I said, the SIU, and in fact the Asset Forfeiture Unit, and in fact the police. We believe we are on a new path where staff in SAA will take pride in their work and where a culture of impunity has been nipped in the bud. People know there's a price to pay if you steal or you misappropriate taxpayers' money at SAA. We have also made significant progress in the competition litigation against SAA, both in South Africa and globally, and we've taken the corrective measures internally. We are pleased to report that South Africa is also South African Airways is quite excited by the challenges placed in front of us to step up to the plate for the new growth path. We accept fully that more must and can be done to create more and better jobs, and that we should all do better to grow the skills base we need to succeed as a country. To this end, we are proud to announce that we were among the first to launch a partnership with an FET college for training technicians. We have also significantly increased our intake of trainee technicians and apprentices at South African Airways Technical. We're also looking at our other subsidiaries, like AirShift, wherever, to see how we can improve there too. We would not have been able to fund this on our own, however, because it comes at a cost. And this was made possible, again, as the chair, through effective partnerships with other entities in the public sector. In this regard, we are particularly pleased with the enthusiasm and the money put on the table by Minister Nzimande and his department. We've also made significant progress in reinvesting in our people, because this was a matter that was also scandalously neglected for a long while in SAA. We have addressed a scandalous situation where thousands of our staff were temporary members, and we're proud to say that today we have made over 4,000 people who were temps, we believe illegally, for a period, a very long period. They are now permanent. We've also revived our internal training academy, and we've built better relationships with our trade unions. We hope that this has resulted in an improvement in the quality of service, and we hope you've also noticed, including our food, etc., and that this is some of the happy outcomes of reinvesting in our people. We believe that this has been the major reason why South African Airways has again won major international awards last year. There are still areas that we believe fundamentally undermines our ability, however, that undermines our ability to be as great as we can be, and that require better alignment amongst various state and public sector entities. For example, our visa regime, South Africa's visa regime, undermines our country's belief, and in fact it is evidenced by the fact of our growth as SAA, that the African continent is our key growth market. Our visa requirements for Africans undermines this aspiration. We are, of course, in conversation through DPE with the relevant departments to address that. There are other areas that we can mention if the committee feels so. Another area is the unacceptable levels of baggage pilferage. We need much more seriousness and much better collaboration with ACSA, and we believe with the South African Police Services. Baggage pilferage undermines confidence in the airline and in our country. We are tightening our service level agreements with partners we rely on, like ACSA, and with baggage handling companies. But to make this effective, we need and would like the support of this committee to assist us to ensure more successful prosecutions and convictions. And we want to call that baggage pilferage in fact become elevated to become a priority crime. We want to thank also our elected leaders in Parliament from all the parties for your patience, your wise counsel, and for supporting us in so many ways. We hope that we can continue to rely on this oversight, and we want to emphasize again cross-party oversight, because we're very, very pleased that we have enjoyed this support from everyone. We want to thank everyone, Honorable Chair and members of the committee, for your guidance and for your support, and that includes very healthy, robust criticism, and in fact some of our actions we undertook that we report progress on this year was a direct consequence of our engagement with yourself and your leadership and criticism that you've raised with us. And we hope that we can rely on that in the coming year. And with that sort of opening comments, Honorable Chair, I want to ask if you want to stop there or if I can hand over to our CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee. I thought we would just start just really just to set the context in which SAA operates. And here, I mean, you... Sorry, this is just waiting for the presentation. And what we're basically saying is that today, I mean, SAA services 34 cities on 6 continents, offering 20 inter-Africa routes today. And in the last financial year, we're proud to have carried 8.5 million passengers and 129,000 tons of cargo. We currently have 68 aircraft in our group, and this includes both the aircraft, the 5 aircraft that are allocated to Mango, our low-cost carrier, and our 4 freighters, which we use in the cargo section of our business. As at the end of March 2011, we employed 10,057 employees worldwide, which basically is within South Africa and all the outstations in which we operate into. My chairperson also just mentioned that we obviously as SAA operate within the mandate or the shareholders compact set by the Department of Public Enterprises. And here, I mean, we just wanted to highlight some of SAA's strategic objectives as set out in that shareholders' compact for 2011-2012. And we list the fact that, I mean, SAA plays a very strategic role, I mean, for South Africa, and I will actually talk a little bit further on that in terms of how we've actually responded to that call. And one of the other things in relation to objectives is that we should progressively continue to build a positive capital base and financial efficiency in our business. And we're proud to say that in this last year, we can actually report that we improved on our gearing, as indicated by our numbers and our balance sheets as contained in the annual report for this year. In the context of responding to the commercial and operational efficiencies and effectiveness, we were able, I mean, to improve our cargo profitability, I mean, in this last year. We were also proud that between ourselves as SAA and Mango, our low-cost carrier, we consistently were number one on on-time performance right through, I mean, the year, averaging an 85% on-time performance for all our operations, I mean, domestically. In terms of cooperation and consolidating our business, in this last year, there was a huge amount of focus in making sure that there is better alignment and strategic focus between our SAN and its subsidiary companies, and in addition, with its alliance partners as well. We added a number of frequencies and introduced additional capacity on a number of routes in this last year. And just to mention a few, we've added frequency and capacity onto Windhoek, Lagos, and Harare in this last financial year. And this was also just responding to the strategic objective that we need to ensure that we continue to invest and look at new route development as part of our mandate. In all of this, we understand that as SAA, we also have a much larger role, I mean, to play as the airline. And that role, I mean, pertains, I mean, to developmental objectives that we also need to be aware of and sensitive to. And further on, I mean, we shall indicate, you know, how we have actually performed, at least to date, against the NGP as well. But these are just really highlighting some of our strategic objectives. And my chairperson mentioned the fact that when we look at the specific KPIs that were outlined for us by the shareholder in our shareholders' compact, that we're happy to actually say that we were able to achieve or exceed all or nearly all of those KPIs. The main KPI in the shareholders' compact was around our net returned earnings for this last financial year. And in there, the target was 201 million. And we're happy to say that we exceeded that by 238% in terms of what we were then able to achieve for the financial year. That is actually contained in the annual report, where we actually highlight all of the KPIs and how we have performed against them. I mentioned the fact that we believe that SAA plays a much bigger role. And I think over the years, we've always had a real challenge in terms of trying to determine how we actually measure our impact on the economy. Because we know that as an airline, that we contribute in four distinct areas within the economy. One is that we know and we can measure, I mean, some of the direct impact in terms of growth in the aviation sector. Because airlines would obviously have a direct impact on airport infrastructure development and airport retail environment. Indirectly, we know that, I mean, we also support non-aviation tourism. And in this context, I mean, we're talking about the impact that we have when we grow on car rentals, hotels, and ground transportation services. In addition to that, we say that, I mean, as an airline, we're able to also induce, I mean, certain impact or activities within the economy where we generate some benefits which are directly or indirectly, I mean, from the aviation activity within the economy. And lastly, we also benefit or impact on the environment from a consumer welfare perspective, where obviously that general benefits to all South Africans from the increased tourism access. But what we were able to do in this last year is that there was always, I mean, an issue around being able to truly measure what the impact of aviation is on the economy. Because we as an airline can only measure it, or had only been in a position to measure it purely from what our own performance was. We always understood that aviation has a catalytic, I mean, impact on the economy. However, We had never actually had a study, or there was never a study that would have been undertaken to date, which actually could actually confirm exactly what was the value of that catalytic impact was. We were happy that the Oxford Economics actually conducted a study on South Africa on aviation last year. And based on that study, the outcome of this study actually indicates that aviation and or aviation's catalytic effect on tourism in South Africa is to the value of 23.4 billion to GDP. And that aviation would have created 116,000 tourism jobs in our environment, or the South African environment. We then took those numbers and said, knowing very well that today SAA still carries approximately 50% of the inbound passengers to South Africa, we then took those numbers and said, then it, what it basically converts to is that SAA today can actually say that we have a catalytic impact that actually creates or contributes 11.7 billion to GDP and supports 58,000 jobs in the South African tourism and environment. This is an independent study, as I said, that has actually been run by Oxford Economics, and I think for the first time we're able to demonstrate the effect that aviation actually has on the broader economy, and not just the value of SAA and the number that SAA is able to report on its own. We'll then talk about specifically just the operating or the trading conditions that we found ourselves in this last year. And I think our chairperson has already highlighted that it was another difficult year for the global aviation industry. We registered low GDP growth, which meant that passenger numbers did not grow, and the cargo demand also was static as well. We noticed that, especially on the economy class, I mean traffic, that the economy traffic had not fully recovered from the global financial crisis, and that there was a further pressure on the average fares, I mean, for all airlines around the world. In addition to that, we were also faced with oil prices that continue to increase above the US dollar, $100 per barrel, which actually was a huge challenge, I mean, for all airlines, because as we were registering declining revenue numbers, we were also impacted on by increasing costs in relation to issues such as the oil prices, which were outside of our control. SAA also had additional challenges, in our view, in that we faced increasing competition from some of the Middle Eastern carriers who have had the ability to continue to add more capacity into the South African environment, despite some of the challenging operating conditions. And we've had to actually face this competition with the same number of aircraft that we've had for a very long time, because SAA for a long time has not been able to grow its business because of the limited capacity that we had in our fold. I think we're quite proud of ourselves that, I mean, despite not having an increase in the number of aircraft, we were able at least to improve the utilization of our aircraft in order to be able to offer the additional frequencies and new routes as well. All that translated to some of the financial, I mean, highlights that we reflect on slide 8, which is no longer being shown.
It's fine, you can get it. We have the notes in front of us.
Okay.
So if you can just indicate what those,
okay,
so we will follow
you. All of this, I mean, then translates, I mean, to some of the financial highlights, which are registered on page 8, where, I mean, we're able as a group to announce a group pre-tax profit of 795 million, and that this was actually achieved despite, or was achieved with us achieving operating costs going up only by 1% if we exclude the fuel costs. And we show this just to indicate that for all of the costs that were within our control, we actually were able to control those, I mean, quite tightly. And that further on you will see that the overall increase in cost was 5%, but that the cost that we were able to control only went up by 1%, and the 5% actually relates to the costs that were outside of our control. This then translated into an operating profit, which improved by 66% year-on-year versus what we actually reported, I mean, last year, and an earnings per share improvement of 50% as well, And we're also able, I mean, to increase our capital and reserves by 65% when we look at our performance from year to year. At this point, that's all of us are presenting. I'll pass on, I mean, to our CFO and take over the lead.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, members of the committee. We turn to page 12, looking at the annual financial statements. We've got a summarised version of the income statement there, and I'll touch on some of these lines. Okay, looking at total airline income. Now, total airline income basically comprises of turnover and then other airline income. On the turnover, the most notable increase there was passenger turnover of 8%, and freight and mail also increased by 5.5%. The overall increase in total airline income was 3%, and that was brought down by a line under other airline income, which was recoveries of fuel, which was down 9%, and hence the 3% only 3% increase. On the operating cost, the CEO explained the difference between the uncontrollable cost being the fuel cost and the controllable. The fuel cost actually went up by 18%, and the other controllable cost went up by 1%, and that's, as the CEO mentioned, overall increase only 5%, and that's testimony again of how tight we controlled our costs. Looking at the fair value and translation losses, there was an increase of 79%. Now, this line basically comprises of foreign currency translation gains and losses, and also fair value gains and losses on derivative instruments for hedging. If we look at the line foreign currency translation losses, that was 309 million loss, which was partly compensated for by a profit on our fair value derivative hedging instruments of 107 million. So there you can see where the improvement of 79 million comes from. Net operating profit up by 66%. If we look at the line net finance costs, that's comprised of total interest cost incurred and other interest on investments. The interest cost incurred decreased by about 60 million as a result of lower long-term liabilities. We've utilized some of our cash to repay some of our liabilities, and the other part is lower investment income, which is a result of lower cash balances that we held. The line taxation, obviously SIA is not in a taxable position. We've got assessed losses. That tax base refers to deferred tax and not actual taxation. So the bottom line profit for the year is 782 million, which is up by 77% from the previous year. From this amount, we have to deduct interest on the sub-loan, it's a subordinated loan, subordinated by government, which is actually shown from an accounting point of view as a dividend. So that needs to be deducted there, which gives us the 681 million compared to the, the 207 million as explained by the CEO. Right, on the next page, page 13, looking at the balance sheet, you'll see that the movement on the capital and reserves was 649 million, which is basically the retained earnings of the year. If we turn to the next page, page 14, on the balance sheet, I'm just going to concentrate on the major items. Under total non-current assets, we've got property, aircraft, and equipment, which is down by 308 million. Now that is this movement comprises of acquisitions of just under 600 million, which was partly offset, which was offset by depreciation charge of about 780 million. On the current assets, the major movement there is the cash and cash equivalents. I'll discuss those movements on the next page. And then the other one we'll see there under total non-current liabilities, and you'll see their long-term loans reduced by just under 470 million. As I mentioned, some of our cash was utilized to repay some of our long-term loans. Our non-current liabilities basically comprised of provision for return conditions and deferred income on our frequent flyer program, the long-term portion. And the total current liabilities, the major item there is the deferred revenue there. Trade and trade
trade and other payables are more or less in line with previous year, and under deferred revenue, that's our air traffic liability, which comprises of unrealized income from ticket sales and waybill sales, which were unutilized at year end. The balance frequent flyer. So that's on the balance sheet side. Looking at the next slide, slide number 15, the cash flow, you'll see that the cash reduced by 1.15 million from the previous year to the current end of the current financial year. Cash flow from operating activities was down to 300 million. Now this amount excludes all non-cash cash flow items such as fair value gains and losses and depreciation and amortizations. Net cash flow from investing activities, that's 488 million, that was basically utilized to increase our fleet, some additions on the fleet, as I mentioned, just under 600 million, and the balance between the 600 and the 48 was a reduction in our investments. Our net cash flow from financing activities, as I mentioned, we had repayment of loans and the interest on the subordinated loan, which gives us the 900 million. So that basically gives us the movement between the cash balance at the end of the previous financial year and the current financial year. And that's, I'll hand it back to the CEO.
I would like to just take you back. I see we skipped three slides, not purposely, but going back, coming to slide 9. And on slide 9, I mean, what we're actually providing there is really just a breakdown of the performance. Of not just, I mean, SAA, but also of our subsidiaries in terms of how they performed in the last financial year. And you will see that, I mean, Mango, again, I mean, registered a very small, I mean, profit in the last financial year. And this is, Mango, we were also able to increase or grow by giving them a fifth aircraft in the last financial year. And as a result of that, they were able to launch a new service between Lanseria and Cape Town. So they continue to assist us, I mean, to grow new markets, I mean, domestically at this point in time. I think Mango, I mean, we're proud of the fact that Mango remains the only airline, even today, globally, that still offers the ability for passengers to be able to purchase their tickets through, I mean, the retail charge cards by using the Adcon group. And they are still the only airline today that's able to do that. You will know as well that, I mean, Mango has also done very well in terms of introducing new distribution networks, I mean, via the ShopRite and Checkers to allow our people, I mean, or to encourage people to actually fly with the low-cost carriers. On the SA Technical, we're happy to report that, I mean, SA Technical has registered a big turnaround of the equivalent of 152 million compared to the previous year. Registering a profit of 63.5 million in this year, and that we have actually commenced with the major business improvement project, which we call Project Thrust, and this is aimed at ensuring that we continue to grow our third-party work on the continent, and there has been significant progress that has been made in this regard. Airship, the turnaround plan has commenced, I mean, at Airship, and the focus again here is increasing third-party work. And as of the end of the year, Mango has been able to sign up a total of 10 clients within the domestic and the regional space as well. So there is very good progress that is being made at Mango, at Asian. But at Asian, I mean, it's not only just, I mean, the financial turnaround, but it's also the turnaround in terms of the delivery on the quality of food that's being offered, not only on SAA, but on also the other carriers that Airship actually services. SA Technical, which is our subsidiary that actually focuses on improving ourselves, SA Travel Center, sorry, I mean, they all have similar names, SA Travel Center, which is a subsidiary that assists us in improving ourselves. Even here, I mean, we're happy to say SATC was able, I mean, to outperform its competitors and achieved a 17.6% improvement on sales year on year on behalf of the group. If we move on, I mean, to slide 10, I think that the chairperson has actually spoken in her opening remarks about some of the improvements that we're able to report around the governance side of our business, the governance improvements across the SAA group. And here we're proud to say that we believe that we've made significant progress in making sure that we are compliant in terms of the TFMA. And that in regards to that, you will see that in our annual report, we have reported that as a result of some of the legacy tender procedures, that in this last year, it resulted in irregular expenditure of $85 million. But we just want to also say that this is irregular expenditure, not wasteful expenditure, because all of the $85 million related purely to administrative issues where contracts which needed to be extended were not extended, I mean, in time. So you'd find that it's a valid contract, but there was not time of conclusion of those contracts. And the problem was not so much, I mean, purely on the SAA side, but also with the supplier, where you would find that even if SAA has signed the contract, there is an obligation, you know, it would be completely compliant to ensure that both parties have signed the agreement. So it was a combination of all of that. But none of that 85 that we've reported in our annual report refers to anything which is wasteful. It's really as a result of housekeeping or administrative issues. But we think that for us it was important to make sure that we continue to tidy up or clean up our house, because we'd like to make sure that that we actually eliminate the repetition of some of these issues. There was, I mean, $2 million, which was deemed, I mean, to be fruitless and wasteful, and those related, I mean, to fines and penalties and interest payments on late payments on some of the contracts, I mean, that we have, I mean, within our various, I mean, subsidiaries. And all of this, I mean, is actually highlighted in our annual report, I mean, right now. In terms of the legacy competition law issues, here, I think, as of the end of the financial year, if you read our annual report, you will see that there were still a number of cases that were still pending or open. But post our reporting of in the annual report, we're also happy to say that there has been significant progress that has been made, and we've now been able to successfully defend some of the criminal charges that we face internationally. In fact, at Worcester, I mean, today, we have closed off all of the competition issues except for the civil matters that remain against us from ComEd. But all of the international and all of the domestic competition issues have all been resolved. And we're very proud of it for that. But also just highlighting some of the initiatives that we've initiated within our system to ensure that there is no repetition of some of the things that happened, I mean, previously. We do have in place a manual system now for detecting and reporting irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. A new delegation of authority and a new supply chain management policy was reviewed and signed off by the board in this last year. We also were able, I mean, to finalize, I mean, new terms of reference for the BAC. And the BAC has been reconstituted to ensure that there are a number of gatekeeping gates within the system or the process that we currently have within our system. And we continue to offer training to various people within our organization to make sure that we do not fall foul of some of the things that we found ourselves falling foul of, I mean, in the previous years. We continue, despite all of the things that we've done, but we continue to actually focus in ensuring that we focus on governance improvements, because our aim ultimately is that we want to really be world class when it comes to governance within our environment. And in that respect, we are still undertaking a number of initiatives within our system to make sure that we continue to be even further compliant in each of the various areas. So a number of initiatives are still underway, such as us reviewing competition laws consistently and making sure that we don't fall foul of any new matters now that we've resolved all of the historical issues. And part of that actually requires or entails us providing training for our people so that there is greater awareness of what are the issues that could actually lead to us falling foul on some of these processes. So there is a lot of training and a lot of awareness building that has been initiated within the SAA system. I have already spoken about the fact that as a result of that, we are proud to say that we're able to resolve a number of the issues, even post year end. And as we said, we don't have those issues within our system. When you skip to page 16, there we just talk about looking ahead. And we make the point that looking ahead, if we thought that this last financial year was a difficult operating year, if we just look in terms of what is actually happening around the world and the decrease in GDP growth, unfortunately, it does actually mean that for airlines, there's going to be an even more severe impact for us in this current year and going into the future. Because one of the things that we do know is that the demand for passenger and cargo services actually tracks economic cycles. And it's not a good story, for us at the moment when we watch what's actually happening around the world, because that will have a negative impact on our performance. So we are actually finding ourselves operating in a far more difficult environment than we did, even previously. And we're going to have to face this, despite the difficult operating conditions. We are also going to be faced with even more competition. And the competition is going to come from airlines such as the Middle East carriers, because they are probably in a much more fortunate position that despite the economic cycles and so forth, they are still in a position to be able to add capacity to a lot of the routes that we operate in. So not only are we going to be faced by the difficult operating conditions, but we're not going to see the competition decrease. In fact, we believe that the competition will increase, even though it's very clear that at this stage that the competition is going to be mainly from the Middle East, carriers. And they are doing this and are also able to negotiate a much higher number of route rights in a lot of the African countries, the very ones that we as SAA are also targeting as our future growth markets. And they are aggressively targeting, those markets to obtain additional route rights. In this last year, in 2010, we saw that global airline margins averaged about 2.7%. And we're saying that, and based on some of the IATA, information, that those margins are going to be further compressed in the years going forward. And also the price of oil or oil being above 105 per barrel is really a major factor as well in that. But we remain positive, as SAA, and understand that, we may be faced with a difficult operating environment, but we remain positive that there are initiatives that we must continue to undertake as an airline, and we must find ways of responding to some of the challenges that we currently face as an airline. Up front, when I actually started, I actually also mentioned the fact that over and above just our financial performance, I would think that as an airline we understand that we also have the requirement to play a much bigger role in regards to some of the developmental initiatives that have actually been articulated by our shareholder as well. And in that regard, we're happy to say that we are making some progress in terms of supporting the NGP. And there is a slide that was actually circulated to all of you. It is not numbered, but they were just showing the progress that we have made around that. And the amount of training that we're doing in the various parts of our business, both in terms of supporting internships and apprentices within the SA technical environment, and also just focusing on our cadet program, which my chairperson actually mentioned at the beginning, that we have reintroduced our cadet program. And here, we are already making progress by actually, what we've actually done initially is to find those people who have already undertaken the initial training in terms of private airline, pilot license, and we're bringing them into our system and providing them with the intensive briefing programs in order to get them to be able to fly with SAA. But over and above this, we are currently in the process of concluding a very big initiative, which we are hoping that we will announce once we've actually gone through the various internal processes as well. And it's really an initiative where we are looking to introduce an SAA Pilot Academy, which really would be aimed at training a huge number of pilots. And we think that probably, the way in which it will be structured would not really just be training for the needs of SAA, but looking at what other people do around the world, where in each of their countries they do have an academy of that sort, that we think that we can also do something in South Africa that would cater not only for South Africa, but would also cater for Southern Africa as well. But that is, I mean, a big project that we're currently completing the different cases to, and it will go through, I mean, the various approval processes before it gets announced. I will not go through, I mean, the detail of the rest of the slides, but I think because my chairperson also highlights the fact that when it comes to some of what we're doing within the environment, we have provided you stats as well in terms of what our current performance is on employment equity in comparison to what has been provided to us as targets by the DOT. And you will see, in terms of the numbers that we provided in our presentation, that in all or most of the categories that we are exceeding already the DOT, I mean, targets. We obviously have our own internal targets which are a lot more aggressive than what has actually been presented to us or provided to us by DOT. But if we just use that as an indicator in terms of how we're actually performing, we're really, really proud that in most of the areas we are actually exceeding the targets by far, even though the DOT targets are calculated over 5 years, and the 5 years is for the period 2010 to 2014. There is an area where we're still falling short, and that's the area where people with disabilities, and there are programs, I mean, currently to say how do we actually make sure that we begin to address, I mean, this area. And it requires us, I mean, to really do a lot of work within our system, including making sure that our buildings are able to even accommodate us looking to, at this area as a focus area for us going forward. We talk about SAA being positioned, I mean, for growth, because despite all of the challenges, I mean, that we have, we believe, as I have already indicated, that SAA still has a lot, I mean, to offer, and that the way we're going to be able to do that is to continue to actually follow or to take a group approach where we utilize not only the SAA passenger side, but also our subsidiaries in ensuring that we could grow further, especially in the aviation space. We recently introduced our new service, Tindola, and you would be aware that we also announced that we shall shortly be introducing our flights coming to Beijing. We were hoping that that would already have been introduced in the month of November, and unfortunately at the moment we're just waiting for outstanding approvals from the Chinese authorities, but we are ready to go, I mean, from an SAA perspective in introducing some of these flights. We are committed in making sure that we continue to deliver on the strategic objectives of the state, and which includes facilitating trade and economic development in environmentally and socially responsible manner. Again, here, we would hope that in our drive, I mean, to try and deliver on some of these objectives, that we are able to engage with the relevant stakeholders and make sure that we are actually aligned in making sure that we are all focused on delivering on the strategic objectives. Because unfortunately today, we do still find ourselves challenged where there are certain policies that actually have a negative impact on some of the things that we would like to achieve. For example, the chairperson already had mentioned that transit visas have had a negative impact on SAA this last year. We saw a drop of around about 20% in some African states as a direct result of the introduction of the transit visas. So this is just examples of areas where we believe that there really should be greater engagement with the relevant stakeholders so that there is better alignment in ensuring that we are working for the good of the South African economy. Lastly, we are proud also to say that in this last year, SAA remained Africa's most awarded airline. I shall not go through the very long list of our awards, but I think we're very proud to have won all of these awards. And it's really being proud of the employees that we have in our system, because without our employees really coming to the party, I don't think we would have been able to actually register not only the positive results that we see, but also, I mean, the awards. There's no doubt, I mean, that we're still faced with challenges going forward, but we believe and we remain positive that with what we've been able to achieve, and with every person coming to the party, which we've really seen, there's been a very positive response from our employees on some of the initiatives that we've been able to undertake in the last year. And we think that will work in our favor going forward and ensuring that we deliver on the objectives as set for us at the end. Thank you.
CEO, thank you so much. Can I ask the members in the meantime if you can indicate to the committee secretary whether you want to put questions, and he will make a list for all the questions that can be put to. And while he's preparing the list, can I just on behalf of the committee just congratulate you on your recognitions of excellence and your awards. I think it's not only to you, but also and your executive, but also to all your employees, the 10,000 plus. And if you can also convey the congratulations of this committee to all your employees who contributed to the numerous awards that you've received in recognition of excellence in your in SAA. And as I said in the beginning, I think you did pretty well in the last year. You on controlling your costs, I think it's a wonderful achievement in a very difficult global environment to control your costs to that low increase percentages. I think it's from an accounting and financial point of view, it's no mean achievement that you've done. Your net profit up by 2%. This committee visited SAAT, Air Technical, and we were there on the floor. And I'm very happy that you can report that there's a turnaround in SAAT, because that is an asset for not only for SAA but also for the country and the continent. And that you managed to turn it around where it was 2 years ago, I think you also need to be congratulated. But you still and you thank you for announcing or giving us an indication that you have the SAA Pilot Academy to be launched. We would like to be keep informed when it is launched and announced. And you also mentioned that your legacy competition issues are post the event of this annual report has been settled. I think that's also a major achievement. But you also have challenges. Your cash flow, two of your subsidiaries have posted a net loss for the last financial year. And indicating by the Audit General your compliance issues with the PFMA, including your internal control issues. But we will get to those questions. I'm going to hand over to especially your policy issues, negative policy issues. I mean, we are in the legislature, and maybe the members will ask those questions. How do we take it forward? How do we join hands to make sure that we can assist you, because a policy should not have a negative effect on your operating your business. So I'm going to hand over to the members. Members, it's open to you. You remember we've set a time frame. If with your cooperation, we're probably going to have two rounds. So let's give everybody a chance to ask questions in the first round, and then we'll come for the second round. There's the other persons whose members who's going to ask the questions are in this order is Mr. Gololo, Mr. Van Dalen, Dr. Van Dijk, Mr. Temba, and Mr. Makwena. Mr. Sontu?
Yeah.
You're not in the
meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Gololo?
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. Let me also thank the SAA, the CEO, the chairperson, for the very enlightening presentation there. I've got three questions and a comment. I just wanted to read the question for clarity, actually. Out of the 61 aircraft that you own, I'm just interested in knowing how many do you lease, and then how many are fully owned or paid up. And then I also want to check your relationship with your workforce, your pilots. I remember there was a time when the pilots were not certified, and I just wanted to check your relationship there. How do you maintaining. And then on the pilot academy, I just wanted to check also how many, where do you currently source your pilots from? Watch them from other airlines or what? And of course, commend you on the establishment of that pilot academy. Thank you very much.
Mr. Honorable
Fernandez. Yes, the chairperson has spoken for all of us when he says that we are grateful that you don't come and ask us for money again. But there are some questions I do need to ask, and it's about baggage toll fees. You know, in the World Cup, they said there was no baggage toll fees because the thieves went on holiday. That just proved to us that something can be done. And now it's not being done. Maybe it was because everybody was hands on deck and everybody knew what they were doing, and now they all went on holiday again. So we as a committee asked you to report to us on an annual basis about baggage bill fees. You spoke briefly about it, Mr. Roulas, but you didn't tell us what the figures are on baggage bill fees. So I would like to know that and then ask a follow-up question on that. You know, it's the small jackals in the field that that light the whole field up. It's giving SAA a bad name. I mean, it's in the media all the time. Today there was a piece in the media of a worker that works for SAA that said, well, the people are lying about the figures anyway. And he doesn't want to name his name because of he will be, I think he said, killed in the paper if he does come out and say it, because it's so bad. And I mean, you get figures from SA Express, and then you get figures from SAA, and then you get figures from AXA, and it's all different figures. Nobody knows. It's somewhere between 500,000 and 10,000 cases a year. So I hear your appeal that we must assist you to make this AXA problem. I mean, surely somebody must take responsibility for it. And if AXA is the personal that is, or the entity that is responsible for it, we as a committee must make sure that they must take responsibility for it. I mean, we must assess SAA with that. I mean, you can't, you know, if you have three people, somebody must be accountable. Although maybe SAA might pay them a little more to do it, but somebody must in the end be ultimately responsible. And now nobody is responsible. And in between there, it's right. So, and I also was thinking, you know, maybe it's a calculated loss. You make such a big profit, and baggage profit is so minute to the operations of the big company that it's acceptable. I mean, for 5 years we've been talking about it. This committee have asked questions about it. You came to report on it, and still it's going higher and higher and higher. So, we would like, and then another question I would like to ask is another airline that have said that they are coming into the low class market. It's a Texaco. What is it? Yeah, it's like a taxi operation. How will this affect your low class airline? Not low class, low cost airline like. How will this affect your business?
Honorable Fernandez, please rephrase.
Yes, it's a low cost business. I did not mean low class.
I thought it was Tuesday.
You take the wind out of my sails now. I feel very embarrassed for the slip of the tongue, Mr. Chairman. I am lucky
you have to. So.
Thank you. Chair, I just want to ask the for SA whether they can elaborate a little bit more on their low-cost carrier, Mango. And, you know, if we look at to the assistance and support, what type of assistance and support comes from SAA to Mango? And also about, are there any financial breaching from SAA to Mango, and whether Mango is fully independent as far as their financial business is concerned, and also whether it is sustainable and profitable, what in terms of an asset in at the end of the day to South African Airways. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Tim.
Thank you, Chair, and I echo the sentiments of the other members. The first issue I want to raise, Chair, is
on governance. As we saw in the report that quite a number of legacy issues that are still being dealt with, and maybe to take us into our confidence, if SAA can tell us what are the major legacy issues that really is bothering the company. And then the second one is SAA will be as good as its governance at the board level is intact also. And what are the major challenges at that level, at the governance level with the board? And let me leave it at that. And then the other area that I wanted to know, SAA, like many of the other entities and other departments that appeared before us, also continues to have a problem with the Public Finance Management Act insofar as fruitless spending and so on, as you reported in India. Now, again, what have been done to further familiarize everyone with the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act, not because the report says it, but because it is the right thing to continue to expose people to the Public Finance Management Act. Chair, I'll just ask the last question because you said there's another round. I'd just like to know, you don't have any hedging anymore. That's a problem on its own. Let me not respond to that. I want to ask, now that you have made a profit, are you at a point, or what have you done with the profit? Does the profit assist you to clear your debt? Probably not completely, but is that where you have taken your profit to? With all the financial difficulties nationally, internationally, when do you think SAA would be able to clear its debt completely?
Mr. Mokwena?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to echo the complimentary remarks that you, the Chairperson, and the other colleagues made on the excellent performance of SAA. It is really an honor. And it makes us feel good as members of parliament deployed in this year of government to see such commitment, dedication, and leadership evinced by these two outstanding leaders, the Chairperson, Mr. Cheryl Carrados, and Ms. Cesar Zmela, the CEO. I'm not testing this very lightly, because there are two ladies who have actually debunked the things of the media that women cannot be competent. And by saying so, because we are posing as role models to the youth of this country, to say that if women are given a chance, they can perform very, very well. Perhaps in the next, well, we're just 16 years of democracy, perhaps in the next 10, 15 years, these remarks might have some complimentary. If the agenda based to the regarded as very primitive at that time, because we are working towards that egalitarian society. Well done, and it's also, it makes us very proud to see this, and one that can just juxtapose it to the leadership in the IEC, which has been led by two capable women now, and let us say very fast, and let us say because of their role model nature, integrate the left to the youth of the country. Number one. Number two, I want to know, you have got that you enjoy 50% inbound market share in the country from about 34 countries in the world. I want to find that, of course, that has cumulatively enabled you to generate about 8 million of revenue. I want to find out if in these overseas countries there's collaboration between yourselves and the embassies or the trade missions there. Did they help you in marketing and campaigning, or you just have your own marketing and campaigning strategies without piggybacking on the predisposed government overseas infrastructure that is then formed in the embassy? That's number one. Number two, the Exxon Durban Cape Town exit has been remarkably well managed, although it did need some bad taste among us as politicians when you first withdrew from there, and then assigned Mengo to handle that route. Now, I want to find out to clarify what has been the performance of that route as far as Mengo is concerned. Like Mengo coping, or have you lost that market share to BAA? And because there's a perception that someone British Airways, because they might have switched over, haven't discussed who that side, etc., etc. And he did give you a reason, a question reason, that it was loss-making, and then he wanted to take some of the airplanes there and use them in Africa for the market market penetration. I wonder, Chairperson, how far that has turned out. And the last one for this round would be what? I've always been very keen and desirous that, you see, SAA, you are a pride of the country, really. We are a pride of a country. But we want to see the Africanness in this image, the character. We shouldn't have become an excellent global flyer, but without enhancing the Africanness in terms of character, the attire of your staff, I mean, they're well trained, they're professional, etc., etc. I thought they should actually look something different. Well, have some alternative attire, even if they wear these beautiful navy blue things. But they should also wear, fashion mind. Why don't they wear fashion? I'm not sure about the headroom. They also wear, you know, the Basutu head there. But I understand. Well, that's on the latter note. And the poor sign, which is that, yeah, that's all. And also blended that with Utu and Gosu. And also, exactly. And also, and also in the cuisine. Why didn't you have the cook sisters there? Serve that Burebos and Mush, etc., etc., in the menu, so that when people are there, they can make fun. I'm just saying, so, Chairperson, that we need to have this Africanness projected here. Thank you for
this. Thank you, Mr. Mokwena. Just before I hand over to you, just from my side, this committee recently visited Brazil.
So, Chairperson, my neighbor used the question.
No, Mr. Sonto indicated he'll be in round number two. So I'll give him a round. In a visit to Brazil recently, we were told by the embassy, South African embassy in Brazil, that a possible profitable route may be Cape to New. Can you can you indicate to the committee whether you've looked at that, this route, Cape Town to Rio, reverse and back, whether there is possibility of a route there? Secondly, we also recently visited the NEL facility at Ouatambo. And we looked at the facilities there, and in your report on page 33, you talk about the technical school at Ouatambo with shared facilities or similar facilities by South African Airways, the NEL, South African Air Force. Can you just indicate to the committee whether you are utilizing training facilities in conjunction with the other role players at Ouatambo? Then I think, just from my side on this first round, your previously chairperson, when you addressed this committee, you elaborated quite extensively on the KPMG report, and you indicated to us what needs to be done, what your vision was. So maybe you can just elaborate a little bit of progress made the last year on the KPMG investigation. And lastly, on one of your pages, your air service licenses guarantees, that is now the, was to be issued, the guarantee, the required guarantees with effect from 1 October, that's beginning of this month. Can you just indicate that whether you obtained this and secured those guarantees, that your air service licenses, is your liability guarantee amount, that expired on 30 September 2011, that's last month. Just indicate to the committee whether you managed to secure that guarantee. And lastly, your independent auditor report mentioned you received a clean audit, but there is also emphasis of matter. And in our books, in the oversight role that we have, a clean audit with substantial emphasis of matter can also be serious. So, I'm not saying it's serious, but the independent auditors highlighted a number of emphasis of matters. Can you indicate to the committee whether you are, as a management, as a chair, as a board, and as an executive management, you are really addressing these issues that the auditor has highlighted? You mentioned the competition matters that the auditor has highlighted. I'm asking now about the guarantees for the air service license. That's also emphasis of matter. And then there was a number of internal controls, especially on your financial and performance management on page 51. The auditor talks about control deficiencies arose due to non-compliance with the PMA. The same question that Honorable September asked. There are certain control deficiencies. I looked through your audit report, audit committee report. That's a good report. But please ensure the committee that your financial and performance management are under control. It's over to you before we open the second round.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I will just respond very briefly on some of the matters that was pointed to us directly as the board, and I'll ask the management to respond. I'll also ask my colleague, Mr. Teddy Dacker, who is in fact the chair of South African Airways Technical, and who I credit with a lot of inspiration and oversight of that entity. So I'll just start with some of the matters. Honorable Hololo's questions around our relationship with staff. Honorable Hololo, you know, this is a people business. But like most businesses, if you treat your people fairly and toughly, and everyone knows what is expected of them, you actually make a big difference. And in our business, we really think that a lot of the difference now in attitude, in culture, in values has made a huge turnaround. I'm also very pleased to say that we have a very good relationship with our pilots now. And I would really credit some of it to our CEO here, who in fact, from her SA Express days, have managed to be able to be tough but fair. Even in SAA now, they know she's tough, no pushover, but she's fair. Myself, I've also, both myself and the CEO, have consciously visited every business unit and in fact gone, and I mean, I've spoken for the first time, I believe, in the history of the Pilots Association, as the chairperson, been invited and agreed to speak at the AGM. So we feel we are in a much better way there. And I must say that here we find that as a consequence, our pilots, black and white, we've discovered the most incredible work that they are doing to in fact encourage youngsters to become pilots. They spend their own money, they spend their own time, and as I say, black and white pilots, men and women. So I must say that they go to rural areas, they go to townships, and in fact the CEO has now brought all of that under her wing, and in fact we hope to incorporate even that kind of social consciousness into our formal training program. So I'm very pleased to say that I think we've really improved greatly. And I think, again, one doesn't want to sort of undermine or whatever this, but I think, again, you know, SAA was strike rule. They were struck at SAA at the slightest provocation in the past. We've actually managed to ride their tiger, even when there were public sector strikes, when there was other fatal strikes. And we do think it's because we have built a reputation of dealing with our staff with honesty, with fairness, and with firmness. We're not pushovers either. So just to say we feel much better with that. I think I'll let the CEO speak on how the pilots are served. Honorable Van Dalen, I can just say that, you know what, I share your irritation and outrage about that, and I'll ask the CEO to speak to some of those matters. And we are determined that the bus has to stop somewhere. At the end of the day, when someone gives their baggage to at our check-in counters, it doesn't matter to them that it now disappears into access hands. You know, I give my bag to you, I pay you to, in fact, secure myself and my goods from point A to point B, and it's up to you to manage the service provider down the line. As I've indicated, we have revisited our service level agreements. We're going to make that a lot tougher because we think that's one instrument that we have in our hands. And we would also like to see people go to jail. If there is supposed to be observance cameras that AXA and everyone else has, we want to see how those are used to secure prosecution. Because we do think that an important step in that process is when people know you can't just carry on and steal people's stuff. You must be caught and you must go to jail for as long as is possible. And that's why we will in fact welcome further engagement on it, but it is scandalous. We agree with you and we have declared war on baggage pilferage. And we are engaging on a number of steps, which I think the CEO can also talk about further. I think the question of Mango, I'll leave that up to the CEO to talk about. I'll ask Mr. Dhaka to speak about some of the governance steps that we have, in fact, undertaken. And just to reassure you, Honourable Chair, that, in fact, you know, the governance issues for us, you know, the PFMA is a very sacrosanct thing. And like many other pieces of legislation that people complained about before, with the global economic meltdown, we now see how certain things from the Consumer Act, the Credit Control Act, that people squealed about, that we now say thank God for. If we didn't have those things, this country would have been in much worse shape. And so for us as a board, compliance with the PFMA, and not only compliance, but in fact best practice is critical. And it's not only honorable chair about skills. We think we've done a lot. You will notice that our previous, we are sitting with a new CFO, because we thought the previous CFO was not capable to in fact give us the kind of compliance and the leadership around the financial management. And we now have someone who's in fact also come from the land bank. In fact, Wolf comes from there. And it's a matter that we've also beefed up our staffing and taken on some extra costs to in fact ensure that that happens. But I'm sure that Wolf and Caesar and can talk more about it. But just to say again, you know, compliance should be easy, but we want to go beyond compliance. Another matter, which was KPMG thing which you raised. The KPMG report was not just about theft and wrongdoing, but was in fact a flagrant disregard and violation of the PFMA. Some of the matters in the KPMG thing that we are addressing and which we want to set legal precedent on, and that's what some of the legal proceedings are about, is that when the board signs off on something, you can't just decide, well, you know what, they'll just give me a slap on the wrist and they'll maybe put me on pay without, suspend me on leave with full pay if I just ignore them. And they said 5 million, I'm just going to spend 250 million. Because we think that that in fact violates a whole range of things. And so that's also another step that we think needs to be enforced much more strongly around the PFMA. is the fact that people must understand that you can't just run fast and loose with taxpayers' money. When we've signed off with Treasury, we've come to Parliament, we've agreed on a budget, and then you just decide to do what you like there. So it's not just about what you pocket. On the KPMG issue, Honourable Chair, it's much bigger than just what the KPMG has unearthed. As I said, we have in fact recovered a few million rand, where we have in fact with the asset forfeiture unit, worked to attach somebody's property. To just say, you pay us our money, or we are in fact going to sell these things. And we got it back. There hasn't been a lot of noise about it, and in fact as a board we were a bit irritated about this, because we thought one must actually amplify these matters, because the public reads a lot about stuff that disappears and then nothing happens, and people are on leave and nothing happens. Well, we can say this was very swift and very clean and honest justice, just using the laws and checks. So it's not just about the KPMG report. We are in fact establishing that as a norm and a culture within the company. On the KPMG matter, we say the law must take its course. We have civil proceedings and we have criminal proceedings. We are making very good progress on the criminal proceedings. We've served summonses, we've had responses from Mr. Mula in particular. And we are quite confident of our case. We are, the matters we brought to the civil proceedings are matters that we believe we are going to win. Mr. Mula has responded on some of them. We think some of his responses are frivolous. But we also don't expect him not to defend the matters. And we obviously, that is right. We must say that we are still wanting to see more progress on the criminal side. That's out of our hands. On the civil side, we push our lawyers and make sure that they actually progress the matters as fast as possible. And that as we unearth more information, we bring fresh charges where we are convinced we have a good chance of conviction. But with the criminal thing, it's out of our hands. That's in the hands of the NPA. So, I mean, if you want to know further progress, you should ask the NPA how those matters are progressing. I'll hand over to Mr. Dhaka to just speak on the governance matters because he's quite a good hand in guiding the board on compliance there.
Chairperson and honourable members, let me begin by first addressing the issue of the questions around mango. I share the concern that in some quarters it may have been slightly distasteful for us withdrawing one product and putting another product. As you understand, FAA has got two products that we have in the market, and from time to time we review all the risks that we operate. And we do a lot of market studies to understand what conditions we should do business in. And depending on what the market studies show, we change the product that we put on the market. We are pleased to report that the performance has been as what we expected it to be. As you may well know, we were losing on that route by putting a full service airline. We're losing approximately 13 million rand a month. We have managed to turn that around. We're now making about 2 million rand net a month as a result of that change. Clearly, that difference goes a long way to contributing to the sustainability of the airline and allows us to deal with some of the developmental objectives that we have. We are not saying that we will never review the situation. Like we say, the market studies are conducted every now and again. If the market studies again and the stuff that we do dictate that we need to put a full service product in the market, we'll review the situation and we'll do that as well. And with regard to the subsidy, if any, towards Mango, Mango, as you know, is a 100% owned subsidiary of the SAA Group. As a responsible shareholder, we have certain responsibilities in ensuring that the success of the subsidiary. Among other things, for example, we would ensure that when it comes to the purchase of fuel, we use our combined critical mass to negotiate fuel. That is not a subsidy to Mango. It's only prudent that we have this purchasing power to negotiate. The same is the case, for example, the fifth aircraft that we managed to get from Mango again, it's just using that critical mass decision power of the group to make it happen. So there are no subsidies that go to Mango. It is 10 around the corner, it's now profitable with good half a million, and we've seen Mango developing and growing within the sector. So in that respect, it is a profitable business. We expect the profitability of Mango to continue growing because as the market changes, people are moving towards more cost-sensitive on short trips. They would like to travel probably on a low-cost airline. It's a trend that is happening worldwide, so we expect that that's going to happen. The impact of Tentacles, another low-cost airline on Mango, it's early days for us to say what is the impact. Tentacle is starting on the route where Mango is not deployed at the moment, which is the Johannesburg Mutata. So we don't see the impact directly in that regard, but we are watching the market. We welcome competition. It helps us sharpen our pencil. And if there are more Tentacle airlines in the market, that I think that's good for the South African consumers, because that way we'll also be able to sharpen our pencil in that regard. And I'd like to address the issue of cooperation between the NAL, FAA Technical, and the Air Force around the issues of training. We have established the forum between South African Express, FAA Technical, the NAL Aviation, and we've invited to those discussions AMCO and also the Air Force. The discussions around these are how do we as a state-owned entity respond to the change of the new growth path to ensure that we train as many people as we can, not only for our industry, but also for the related industries. When you train an electrician, that electrician can work not only in the airline industry, they can work outside the industry. The same welding or painting. So we have conducted a review of what we have, and already we have realized that one of the challenges that we had, for example, with FA Technical is that traditionally we tended to train people within the Gauteng region. That's mainly because we have no accommodation facilities. But now we know that across the road at the NAL, they have an 800-bed facility that is only used about a third because there's no huge demand for that. So we'll be using that facility to train and use that. One of the things, again, we've tried to do to rationalize our training is that when the NAL trains its people or the Air Force or ourselves or SA Express, the first year training is actually the same. When you move to second and third year, you begin to specialize. We are now looking at can the NAL maybe do the first year stuff? When people now move to either turboprop, or they now work on a narrow body aircraft, or they go and work on a helicopter, or they go to a wide body, then we take over those specializations within ourselves. So there's a lot of cooperation that's happening in that regard to ensure that we utilize the state's assets in a very optimal manner for the benefit of the country. And now we'll move on to the board of governance question that was raised. We do not have major challenges that were sleepless nights. Most of the legacy governance issues we have resolved as a board. As you are aware, we've been the board now is in the beginning of the third year. We just finished 2 years. We have, as reported in our report, we have our committees that we have put in place, which are all chaired by non-executive directors with management that attends on invitation. And those committees are functioning well. The board has not abdicated its responsibility to the committee. It still remains involved, and decisions are made always in a manner that is consistent with what is expected of a state-owned enterprise. Related to the governance issues, to ensure that we comply not only to the letter but also to the spirit of the Public Finance Management Act, and I'm sure my colleague Sandra there will speak to that, we have created also a forum of management forum looking specifically at matters related to the PFMA. There's a compliance officer, there are people that sit on that forum which review consistently, ensuring that there is compliance to deal with those issues. So from a governance point of view, we are happy to say that the board is functioning well, and that does not mean there is no robust debate. We are a country that is known for robust debate.
No.
We do have a robust debate, but that's very healthy. That's what you need on a board. You need a strong, passionate, different view, because from that, then you get a very optimum decision that is made in this regard. Thank you.
Maybe just to quickly deal with the remaining questions that were to raise. The first one related to aircraft and how many are leased and how many are fully owned. We have 54 of our aircraft are on what we call operating leases, and 7 which are on financing leases, meaning when we have fully paid off those, then those are the ones that would own the 7. But we currently still are making payments towards the repayments of the 7 as well, but those are financing leases. On the pilot side, I really think that I can comfortably say that we are comfortable that as management that we have a very good relationship with the pilots. Really. I think that I say that with no fear of contradiction, I mean, from anyone, that we really do believe that we have a very good relationship with our pilots. And in terms of where we actually attract our pilots into our system, yes, we do take from other airlines, the smaller airlines, but that's how normally pilots progress, because they are required before they fly for the bigger airlines to build up a number of hours on the smaller type of an aircraft. So we do take pilots from other airlines. In addition, we also take pilots from the South African Air Force, which is why right now we are in discussions with them in terms of entering into a partnership with them, so that whilst we will be continue to take pilots from them, but be able to provide them with some assistance as and when required, when they are short of pilots. So those are the type of discussions that we're currently having with the South African Air Force. On the pilferage, I think that the Honourable Member will have noticed that SAA has been quite vocal about the baggage pilferage and the fact that we find it to be totally unacceptable at this point in time. But especially because that actually does have a direct impact on even our financial performance, because the most hard hit area at the moment is the regional operation, which is where the traders, most of the traders are flying through our airports to go to the rest of the continent. And what we're finding is that they're beginning to avoid South Africa because they have no guarantee at the moment that their goods would not be covered. So what we have actually undertaken is that we've actually undertaken a joint project, which is called Project Zero, and it has all of the role players. So it's ourselves, AXA, the police, the ground handling services, and the security services. If you actually highlighted that everybody talks about self-storage, but it doesn't seem as if anyone wants to take responsibility. In the first meeting that we held, the first thing that we wanted to clarify was actually that number, so that when we talk, we're all talking of the same statistics. And I think that's the first thing that we're able to achieve this workshop, because I think we were counting differently, and that's what led to the different statistics. We count for every bag that gets stolen. But, after you find sometimes count on the bags that have been reported, or incidents that have been reported, not the number of bags. So if there's one incident, but it involves 2 or 3 bags, you would find that we're counting the bags, they're counting the incidents. So those are some of the things that we've been able to clarify in the meeting that we've undertaken. And I think that we're even beginning to see some progress now as a result of that initiative. We've seen a decline of pilferage, especially on the domestic side and on the international side, but the regional side remains a challenge. It continues to remain a challenge, so we are continuously focusing on that.
Maybe she's on that one. I can also just say that what's clearly in play is syndicates, because they're targeting people they're targeting traders, which undermines our Africa strategy, but they're clearly targeting where they think there's pickings. So, and that's why our emphasis about just having it as a bit of a more of a priority kind of thing. I can maybe speak about Cuba before.
Look, I am not in a position to actually give you the actual numbers of it right now, but I can tell you the percentage increases in these times because I've got the percentages. So for argument's sake, now we've seen a huge decrease on pilferage on the domestic side. So there's a decline of 58% on the domestic side, a decline of 25% on the international side. Unfortunately, we're still recording an increase of 45% on the regional side. So that's what we're talking about. So as we focus on one area, it shifts to another area. As we focus on regions, it shifts to another area. So we continue, to monitor this very closely, as I've indicated, in the joint summit forum, because now we've actually taken that. Rather than pointing fingers at each other, let's really, come together and deal with this problem as a joint problem for all of us.
Chairman, the figures before they have given to the committee, but you are not giving it now.
I just don't have, it's not like I'm refusing to give the figures. I've only got percentages in front of me, so I'm happy to give the actual numbers. All I have, in front of me right now is the percentages. And then there was a question to say, the profit, does it actually help us to clear our debt? I think the profit has been helping us to strengthen our balance sheet, which remains weak. And that's the issue that we have, that we have to continue to generate these profits in order to help us to strengthen our balance sheet. So that's where, a lot of the profits are going to, really in terms of just helping us to strengthen our balance sheet. But we still sit with the challenge of a weak balance sheet. So we will be challenged even going forward to continue to generate, those sustained profits in order to improve our balance sheet. On the embassies and trade missions abroad, I think I'm happy to report that, especially, overseas, we take a view that we're Team South Africa. And you find that our embassies and missions, together with SA Tourism and our SA representatives, work very closely with each other, making sure that there is joint marketing and promotion of the country. So I think, that is a relationship that works extremely well. And especially even when we're launching new services, we find that the conversations that we have actually relate to all of the role players of the stakeholders in order to assist the new operation. Mm-hmm. And yes, we're not looking at this point in time, yes, we still have our blue uniforms, but I'm happy to say that, or rather, maybe I'm disappointed, but it's an indication that you probably haven't flown SAA in a long time, because what we have on the menu is Mushu. Already, we had it last night coming in.
Okay.
We also have, Buff as well. So we really have worked very hard in bringing in some South African, flavors. And we've received very positive comments from our passengers. I'm very disappointed, honorable member, because it means a lot.
I must admit a defense, Mr. Mokwena. Mr. Mokwena doesn't fly, he drives.
Oh! We can
even work with him.
You want to wrap up?
Yeah.
On
the matters of emphasis, the important one there is, one of them is the air traffic liability guarantee. In terms of both the international and domestic air service acts, the airline needs a guarantee to cover passengers that have bought tickets but have not yet flown. I can confirm that we have secured guarantees for both the domestic and international service council as at the 1st of October in terms of the Act. The other matter of emphasis is the restatement of the numbers. The restatement basically stems from a difference in treatment. Previously, the maintenance reserve deposits were fully expensed, and later, as the maintenance events occurred, we could actually claim back those deposits. Fortunately now, because of improved operational controls and internal controls, we now understand what the recoverability of these deposits are, and we are now in a position to capitalize it and not write off the full amount, and hence the adjustment to, and restatement of the previous year's numbers. That has an impact of that 1.3 billion rand on opening balance in 2010. In other words, we did strengthen our balance sheet by 1.3 billion.
Chairperson, if I may, there is a question on CapReal that we haven't responded to yet. We have looked at the CapReal market, and at this stage, it doesn't indicate that it will be a profitable venture for us to look into. Although the numbers are there, but they're not sufficient enough to us to deploy aircraft on that. But as a general comment, there are a number of places that we would like to go to. But the issue has always been you need to have that strong balance sheet to increase the number of aircraft and ships that you have. The chairperson proudly said earlier that we're not in a position where we should be given bailouts, which is very correct, because bailouts by definition, you're trying to help the pressure on the operating table to get out of that, which is what we've managed to do. Now we're moving into a phase where we're looking for growth. Growth means in our business more seats, which means more aircraft, which means more funding or more stronger balance sheet. So we're looking into that issue going forward. You also did indicate earlier, Chairperson, that how can the committee assist? We are working through the DPO on a number of issues, and we are sure that some of those matters will be raised in the various sectors. What we mentioned to yourselves was the issue of, if I may just touch on the issue of this license, for example, the aircraft license that we have, the guarantee that we have to put in. Working through the DPE and to the DOT, you probably would know that our competitors that are flying into the country, they don't have that requirement. That requirement is on ourselves, which is quite onerous for us to compete. But that is being held discussed with our shareholder, with the various government departments. Thank you.
Have you completed? Thank you so much. Members, we're going to ask for your loss act. Let me start on that side. What we do now is just do questions for clarity, follow up, new questions, but please don't repeat any of the answers and issues that we've already dealt with. You know now the responses, and this is the final round. I'm starting with Mr. Honorable Sontu.
Chairperson, thank you. When there are conditions in questioning, then it becomes a problem. But thank you for that. I just want to register the fact that in succession the committee receives presentations from SOEs that have registered tremendous progress. And to me, that scenario is rebutting the notion or the perception held out there that SOEs can never be effective and profitable.
Yes.
I think these presentations that we have just received from SOEs are rubbish in that, which is a very, very great stride in front of you, DGG. Yet there are issues that we need to be clarified on. When I'm looking at the presentation, at the representation, here I see men are an endangered species. Now, my question would be, is this a reflection of the company? And If it is, why? Yes, what is the problem? Why flipping the coin? But I would like to be clarified on that, whether the company is at home with gender equity issues, and if so, which way does it go? Chairperson, let me ask that one only, because the others were replied to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Sonto. Honourable Mokwena.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Please, the question. Number one, what is the net asset value of SAA? What is the NAV of asset value as we speak now? Number two, just a bit of clarification then on the Comair issue. You mentioned there was a challenge with Comair. I just did not comprehend it. And lastly, have you got any issues with the Civil Aviation Authority, or is everything hunky dory there?
Honorable September.
I can't even count. You said
Honorable September.
Thank you, Chair. I want to ask a new question on Mango and on AirShip. I want to appreciate and understand, having heard the answer to my earlier question, why then would you why did you start Mango when you have a problem the way that you said about your cash flow? The reason why I'm asking that is for two reasons. The first one is, aren't you adding to the carbon footprint? But secondly, if you do want to offer low cost flights, which we really support, why didn't you do it internally? When I say internally, you know, in SAA, why did you start another airline flying more pollution, all of those kind of things? I really want to appreciate the financial decision behind that, because I think now that you have an extra one, now it is extra cost that has gone to that instead of creating it something. The background of me asking this, again, when we visited South America recently, one of the striking things that we saw is the ability of the country to allow its citizenry to utilize the airline fully, where majority of citizens have access to fly, as opposed to what we have in South Africa, that is only certain people that can afford. So I want to appreciate the financial motivation for that. I understand the low cost part of it. But then equally also on the AirShip, which you had in the report, it says there were problems, because it's in this report. But again, I want to ask you, moving forward, isn't it high time now, as part of your job creation program, to also look at, cooperative partners in here to reach out to, because you write in your report, you say this is this thing has been there for very many years, and I think some new ideas is required that would lend out to people also benefiting from it. I think I appreciate, not just anything that we maintain that quality aspect. And then the other thing that I want to say, Chair, is I had a complaint from, I'm not sure you would know, Amanda Hope,
I'm not going to take you through the detail of it, except to say, I think maybe outside of this, you should just indicate to me who it is that I can give this matter to, because it's a matter that's been going on for far too long in my view. And lastly, Chair, I would want to suggest that the committee seriously consider that we have a standard practice that the shareholder, in addition to the entity reporting, not this one or all of them, that the shareholder gives us a separate report of their oversight on this entity and all other entities, so that we can hear. Because the issues that SIA is raising, really, some of it is what the shareholder must tell us, what they are doing about it also. So I think it would be good, Chair, if we consider that the shareholder must give a separate report to this committee. When they appear, when Eskom appear, all of them, then we can hear what it is that they have been doing for the financial year to look at a number of things insofar as the entities are concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I listen to the chairman of the board, I can think of two words. And it is brave is one of them. And very capable, I think. When I hear what you are putting, you are not afraid to say things on the numbers. It is very important, you know, so we know where we stand. It gives a lot of confidence. When you do that, it leaves us little questions to ask you. But I wanted to ask, you know, when we travel along, and I speak to the members on the ground, you know, the pilots when I get a hold of them, or when I can speak to the stewards, I speak to them. And when we were on an international flight to Brazil, I spoke to one of them. She was very tired, and she says, well, you know, she is forced by circumstances to work long hours and long routes to get the money that she needs. And I mean, obviously we don't get involved, but I would like to know the staff remuneration of the stewards. Is that internationally benchmarked? How do we compare with other airlines? It's good that the people we get to talk to, they don't complain about their remuneration, obviously. And it's always natural that people never have enough, you know. But I thought I'll leave it there, and you can do it. And then I want to come back onto this baggage pilfering. You know, Oliver Tambo Airport, which is your regional hub, this is where the problems are. I mean, you mustn't be afraid to say. You call it the regional one, and everybody else doesn't know that it's Oliver Tambo. It is Oliver Tambo where the problem is. Airport. And you know, I might make a suggestion that you get somebody on the board or in the management that is, you know, a forensic security investigator or something that would have, you know, he would look at things like that and not only employ a security guard to look after the things, you know. Somebody with
say again?
You must apply.
No, I would be very ineffective because everybody would know what I look like, so I couldn't go undercover or anything else, you know. So and it shouldn't be so difficult, because, I mean, the airport is a national key point. It's a closed area. The things get stolen must get taken out. I mean, if it is so difficult for them to catch these people and crime on Oliver Tambo is on the increase by 45%, then, you know, how would police ever get control crime in the whole of South Africa? I mean, where you have a much bigger boundaries and different crimes, this is a specific crime. It's a closed area. It should really not be very difficult. It is a total attack on the management of the security, and maybe it's outsourced and somebody don't care about it, but we really must do something about it. It's a disgrace.
Thank you, Mr. Khololo.
Thank you very much, I've got only two quick ones. The first one would be on the Voyager program. Voyager. Because I just wanted to check, because, you know, one has been flying that airline since 2004. And I don't fly any other airline. but I'm still in the economy class. I sit right at the back. So I just wanted to check this to how many years does it take for one to qualify to become, you know, what do you call that?
First class travel.
Yeah, I would want to know that one. That's the first one. The second one actually is also on the budget bill fridge. I just wanted to check the number of claims, because I know the millions and millions of claims that have been put forward to you. How many have you settled up to so far? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Kalolo. Two last questions from my side. In 2008, on your issues, you reversed a decision to sell issues. In university in 2010. You decided to sell in 2008, but you reversed it. In hindsight, was that the correct decision? And lastly, if I look at your page 123, your related parties, travel benefits, I see all of you executive directors and executive committee members, in total for the last financial year, you flew less than 100 flights. I think 97 domestic flights, let me call it that. Related to that, but during the past financial year, how visible were you as leadership, your executive management, your board of directors, really to go to the grassroots, to focus on what you think the problems are, but to focus on what the client thinks the problem are. So I'm asking you, Chairperson and CEO, how visible were you as leadership during the last financial year, really to grow to grassroots? You said you visited all the business units. Can you elaborate? And just to understand, as leadership of SAI, to understand the problems and to get service delivery right. If you can just inform the committee of what you did and what is your vision for the next financial year. Over to you to answer the question and to conclude.
Thank you, Chair. Again, I will leave it up to the experts to do most of the answering. Maybe just on your very express question to us on the first, your ending question, Mr. Chair, I'll start from there. You talk about the number of flights taken. Maybe I can speak for myself. I'm a platinum Voyager flyer before I joined the board. So I have a vested interest to fix this airline. I spend a lot of my time on it. I'm probably not counted in those flights you talk about, because I also don't utilize the free flights. The staff knows that. They don't understand why not. I don't. But I think that all SAA members fly SAA, paid for. I mean, whenever I travel on business, I only fly SAA. That's paid for tickets and so on. Mm-hmm. And I think the CEO can talk about a number of things. All of us have boards. Each one of us chairs a subsidiary. So different members chaired by a board member. And in fact, the requirement is that you spend at least one day a week, and more often than not, it's more than that, at the entity. And that, in fact, you keep an office so people can pop in. People know where to get you. You have an email. So I think we've taken a lot of steps, because as you say, visible felt leadership is the only way you actually fix the place, you know. Whenever we have board meetings, we only eat air chef food, and we have a lot to say about it, and that is why, Honorable Mokwena, we do have moosh, and we've got puff. Mm-hmm. We have nice salads. Mm-hmm. We think that things have really increased tremendously. Wonderful. We cater for everyone. We are very broad and inclusive. Wonderful. Yeah. And rice, and in fact, nice cakes. I like cakes, so the cake has improved tremendously. I know what. Anyone who likes it, please, you may have me to thank for it. So I'm just trying to get the rest of it. Honorable September, I think the question of mango, maybe I'll just leave that again to other colleagues to respond to. We can just say mango works for us. We're not alone as an airline. Airlines have two models on the low costing, but everyone has to respond to it. You can't ignore it. So airlines either have them sometimes in-house, like BA and Comair, sort of, or you can run it separately. SAA preceded us on the Mango decision. They treat it as a different cost structure. SAA is a full legacy airline, and I mean, we think it works as it is. It's a matter which we do revisit and which we're happy to engage with on, because it's something one must keep on asking yourself. Is this the correct model? Is it appropriate? Not least of all because the landscape around low-cost carriers is changing tremendously. We laughed about Santaco. I think it was Admiral van Dalen who was so rude and outrageous about Santaco. And I'm glad that he was embarrassed about it. But, I mean, the thing with SAA is we really welcome more accessibility. And it's not necessarily only going to be us. You know that low-cost carriers, the great thing about it is I see it in my own family. The kids who flew Mango when they were students or One Time or any other airline, now that they're professionals and they're whatever, you know, they start talking different language. They start saying, well, I'm a lawyer now, you know, I need reliability, I need flexibility, so I fly SAA now, you know. The point is that when people see, it's like the short list campaign in South African tourism, where you actually get people to think of themselves, to dare to dream of themselves as tourists. Similarly, now you say to people, you can fly. I remember that Kulula ad that said, now everyone can fly when they launch Kulula. And that's how we want people to see. We want to take people on the roads, the carnage on our roads. We want people to become aspirational about flying. And so, as SAA, we've also changed our mindset away from being a dominant player to being a market leader. Where, in fact, we believe that the more people fly, at the end of the day, what goes around comes around. Everyone will benefit from it. And we must earn our stripes to be an airline of choice. Or, as the kids, you know, I've got no issues flying Mango, flying economy class. If I'm flying business, I generally fly business class. If I get sick of an airplane, I go and work or whatever. If I'm flying with the kids, I have got no issue about flying Mango. I don't need to have the flight. So I'm saying that the notion of increasing the flying public is good for individuals because they have more time, more recreational time. It's good for our country. There are fewer people who die on our roads. So, in fact, the accessibility issue is something that we take very much to heart. And, in fact, we, as much as what we make rude jokes about Santaco, we wish them luck. We really hope that, in fact, flying will become more and more of a way of life in South Africa as part of the transport solution. And whatever we can do to encourage and make it possible, we will certainly do that. And in fact, we want to desist from behavior that bullies other people who fly around the place. I think that maybe that's all I'm going to comment on, and I'll let the rest of the colleagues use the time that they have on the matter. And Honorable Kornhoff, I can say on the airship thing, we think it was the right decision. We think that on SAA being a full legacy carrier, one of the things that sets us apart is people fly us and they expect a meal, a decent meal. We think that when we do it for ourselves, we're not paying a third-party intermediary an extra chunk of money. So we can do it much more affordably. We can be more sensitive to the needs of our flyers. It's actually our people. But we're also using it. We're not just supplying it for ourselves. We, in fact, supply it much more broadly and allow the CEO to maybe speak on it. But we feel very good about it. We think it was the right decision.
Maybe just to end up on the Mango issue, because Chair has actually covered most of the reforms relating to Mango. The reason why Mango had to be separate from SAA is because in order to be able to offer the cheaper fares, you also have to have a lower cost. So today you find that Mango's costs are close to half of what SAA's costs are. So it would never have worked just to create it as a division of SAA, because basically Mango would have inherited exactly the same, I mean, cost in terms of overhead of SAA. So that was the reason why it was created, I mean, separately, in order to benefit from the lower cost.
That's why more and more people are going to fly. It's not just because Mango is there. I mean, you also got to be yourself, because we want more people to fly for all the right reasons. And you know, there is a thing called the market that does sometimes work. People, where it suits me or anyone else to drive, you're going to drive, you know. But when it suits you better to fly, you'll fly.
Like a fruit to
and
South America, yes. That's
so the carbon footprint thing is something we have.
That doesn't matter. Who has the air to South America?
Thank you very much.
and business class, no us.
But you know, Honorable Khan, I know you're a man of the cloth, but trying to walk on water is something. You know? So I'm glad to hear you drive when you go to South America.
Then there was a question on net asset value. It's 2.9 billion now. And then around the cabin attendants. Well, I think that we do, we probably are the airline that pays the best.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. And we do continue, to benchmark our salaries. Obviously, what happens is that when you fly, there's a base salary, there's also allowances. And the allowances are obviously better if it's a long sector. But we also have a system that ensures, that everybody gets a fair chance to actually go to the various destinations. Otherwise, indeed, you would have certain people who choose the long-haul destinations in order to get more money out of that. But we have a system in place called Pegasus that ensures that there is fair rostering of our crew.
But it's also nice if our crew gets an exposure of all the markets.
International and regional. What I was talking about is really splitting our customers, because we split them according to international, domestic, and regional. So all of them are actually going through ORC. However, what we find is that there's higher theft on those people connecting via ORC to our regional. So that's where we saw the big increase, but a decrease for domestic and international. Then there was a question around how well we've done in terms of visiting our outstations and making sure that we're visible, to our employees and so forth. I think, we've done tremendous amount of work in relation to that. One is that each one of the executives makes sure that, they visit our stations. So the number that you see here, this is really, your rebate travel when you're going on holiday. You do not reflect what we do on behalf of the organization. So it's not there's no correlation between the two. But there is a significant amount of work that's been done. I have personally done roadshows, to maybe all of our stations. In addition to that, we introduced this last year what we call open days for each of our various areas. Mm-hmm. Open day for cabin crew, open day for ground crew, and so forth, where we take the time to share with them not only things that pertain to their own area, but we share with them exactly what's happening in the organization as a whole. And those have really been received very, very, positively within our system. In fact, we get to go to the point that even our chairperson, who doesn't use our rebates, when she is traveling on business, we also assign, we want her travel, and we assign her the responsibility of visiting some of our stations. She has gone to Ghana on a personal visit, and we said, we noticed that you have a little bit of free time. Please, can you visit our station? So we really do make sure that everyone who travels, we make sure that we visit our station. Good. Sometimes we go in some of these countries just for minutes, but meeting, but we never come back without actually making sure that we visit our people on the ground. And it's been very, very well, very, very well received. In the last year. Civil Aviation Authority. I think that whatever challenges that we have with the CAA, I would describe as more operational challenges. This is the normal what we would anticipate in the type of relationship we have with our stakeholders. I think that we continue to work very hard in that relationship, and we're pleased that there is a good relationship that is coming out of there with some of the people that are currently at the CAA. The current acting commissioner, she should be saying, is an ex-SAA employee. So it's somebody who work well with them as well. Okay, the comments that we make up, I'll ask them to respond to that. On the Voyager, if you have really been flying with us a lot, I'm sure you have enough miles now to be able to upgrade your economy class to business class. And we'll help you with how you can go about that.
Anybody else comment?
Just
indicate your mic.
Sorry. I was also going to say,
actually check when they fly that the frequent flyer number is inserted. So you lose a lot of miles. Okay. No, but then come to us. Talk to us if you think there's something that's not right about it.
Anybody else is going to respond on your side?
One last
Julie, on the matter of the comment page, it dates back to conduct in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those legacy matters where the competition authorities have already found SA guilty of non-competitive conduct. What happened after the Competition Commission found us guilty, ComEd instituted civil claims for damages, i.e. the impact of that conduct. And we are engaging with ComEd as well to see if we can resolve that at the lowest possible cost to the company.
Honourable Chair, just Honourable Sonto's question, just to say to the Honourable Sonto, we know his point. We are instituting an affirmative action program to empower men in SA.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I ask you that one? Thank you. Can I ask if you have a closing remark? Anybody from the PE? Sure.
Thanks, Jay. We had not prepared to make remarks, but perhaps to amplify our appreciation of the good results posted by SAA, and the challenges that are currently facing the business will continue to tackle together with the company and with other stakeholders. And I mean, really, the policy issues raised here are significant, a significant impact on the business. And we're working with the DOT specifically to make sure that we reach resolution of some of these issues. So just on that, thank you to management and thank you to the portfolio committee for giving us the opportunity to present such good results. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Members, can I conclude?
Yes. Can I thank
the chairperson, the CEO, and your executive director and your management team for presenting your annual report. Thank you for coming to Cape Town to present. Thank you for the way you presented. Congratulations again about your excellent achievements. And we wish you well for the forthcoming financial year. There are tremendous challenges still in front of you. You must regard us as your friends. It's not you and us. It's us together, because SAE is a national asset, and we want to strengthen and build and support you. So let us work as a team together, the Portfolio Committee and SAA, and wherever we can assist you, our doors are open for assistance. This is just the beginning of the process. After this meeting, we will compile a report on your annual report, oversight, and this will go to Parliament. And it will be either debated or adopted in Parliament with recommendations. So it doesn't end here. It goes further. And the issues you've raised, we are going to put in the report, the good and the bad. And again, thank you. A couple of years ago, there were two women in charge of SAA, SAX, SA Express, and now with SAA. And they tell me both of you eat nails for breakfast. That's why you're here. So thank you for your and thank you for all your executive plus your employees, because they are building SAA, not the people in this room. So convey our congratulations to them. I'm going to test your regional line tomorrow. I'm flying one of your regional lines, and I hope I don't increase your 45% increase in baggage pilferage, but I'll report back to you on one of your regional lines. So thank you so much for your effort and your presentation. We're going to break for 2 minutes because there's another agenda item very shortly on the agenda, just for SAA, just to read through and safe flying back home. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
5 minutes.
2 minutes.
Rosie?
Yes, yes.
How are you, Rosie?
Okay, but how are you?
Rosie?
Yeah.
I like your name. Rosie.
Don't make me scared. Don't make me scared.
Can I keep it clear? Did you say the book is ready? Maybe not too much at this point.
I'm going to see my child about it. Some more. Yeah. Then.
Just make sure you have one other boy.
I love another boy. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Cobra
September? Conference September? From Kiwi? Just ask your members to come in. Members, let this start. The only item left on the agenda now is the BRRR report. Eric, can you just sit down, please, man?
Can I just say this?
The only item that's left is the BRRR report. We discussed it last week. Then we made some inputs. Then the committee secretary and the researcher made some additions and improvements. And then they sent it yesterday or day before yesterday to all members to say these are the improved document. This is the improved document. So I need a suggestion how you want to treat this. As far as I know, I can gather, the deadline is early in November, which means we really have to work backwards to accept today, because next week is early November already.
Yeah.
And next week's program is two SOEs, annual reports of two SOEs.
Mm.
So it'll be very hard push if we want to put a third item on two annual reports next week.
Yeah.
So members, I'm really in your hands to indicate to me whether you've read the report, whether you happy with this, whether you want to add, and then also maybe we start with the researcher and the secretary just to introduce, and then members, I need a proposal.
Thank you, Chairperson. After our last meeting with the committee last week, what we did was to accept some of the recommendations that the committee recommended. If one looks at the report, all the bold letters are the recommendations from the committee.
Mm-hmm.
So on the section on the recommendation, that one we left it open, because the one of the suggestions from the committee was that until there is analysis in the section that we identified last week, then the committee will be able to make recommendations. So we left the recommendations open for the committee. That is all. I don't know if the secretary will add anything.
Okay. Perhaps also the committee should zoom into the observations as to which one can we add, and also the recommendations. Because I did add a few, like three there, recommendations that invented from the meeting last week. The one on the sending committee on public accounts to investigate the ESCOM 8% video. That one, yes. And then also regarding the remuneration review recommendation support, and also the department to provide the committee with a shareholder compact of the SOEs to enhance oversight of the committee. These are three recommendations. So the members can add.
Members, over to you. Mr. Van Dalen?
Yes, I wanted to talk about what happened in the media with the transport, with the Transnet Ports Authority, that we add in there that they're investigating the gas and the oil spin-offs that we can have if we have that at the Transport Authority, at the Port Authority. And then the other one was ESCOM to investigate the gas to use instead of diesel at their open cycle gas power stations, because gas is seen as green energy and it's very good for the country to do that. So we need to investigate that. I don't know if we can add it here.
On that issue, can I just indicate, if I remember that template correctly, what you analyze and what is your analyze on the department You cannot make a recommendation unless you've analyzed it.
Yeah.
It must flow through. Yeah. So a loose standing recommendation that's not addressed in the body of the report cannot fly.
But it was addressed. I did read it somewhere about the transport, transport authority. It was added into the report. I just can't find it right now. But I did read it.
Any other comments?
Maybe, Chair, there can be a difference because I think you started off right. The thing deals with the annual report that we have dealt with and it looks back. So we need to make recommendations on that which we have looked back. There should be a space when the Secretary brings to us the annual report which the committee must deal with. Like you said to SAA, you know, we're still going to deal with it and table it and so on. And I think that's where Honorable Kandami, one should be adequately accommodated for, because this one deals, the framework for this thing is just extremely different from that which we're supposed to do in our own report. I just wanted to lastly add, Chair, that look, there's not much that we can do on this anymore. Except, I just want to know if SAA is sufficiently covered in here. Because just listening to SAA now and the salient points that they have raised, I flipped through now quickly. I must confess. I don't think it's, I think we've got to highlight a little bit more of SAA's issues. One, the SAA is, you know, the case is still continuing. It's reflected in the report, the KPMG, that we note that is still continuing, has not been concluded. And then the second one, I think there's the PSMA issue, which they're not out of the woods yet. And I think it's incumbent upon us to raise this and to make a recommendation on the need for SAA to accelerate the understanding to every management on the PSMA obligation. That must be in there. And then I think we should say, like I said to Eskom, we note that SAA has made a profit, but however, SAA's balance sheet is still not too healthy. And that in this instance, again, the committee should recommend that we continue to have engagements with SAA on this matter. Those are the recommendations. I can't remember that we dealt with them now, and then there might be others. But otherwise, Chair, I think, you know, we try to have this with this.
Mr. Khadon.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, I was not in last week during the PRRR report. But I thought maybe it would also be important for us as a committee to add on the question of the risk management of all SOEs in order to curb unforeseeable losses. In other words, to strengthen those committees that are within the state-owned company, to avoid a situation whereby they incur a lot of money. So that if we could strengthen those committees, risk management coming. Thank you.
Anybody else? Can we summarize?
Yes.
I think the first important point is that we ask the committee secretary and the researcher to really go line by line through this report and just make sure the figures and the facts and the analysis are correct. There should not be discrepancies. Anyway, the headings of the tables, semantics, but context as well. That really we make sure that the figures talk to one another. There's no mistake in quoting figures or percentages. Just tidying up. Just make sure it's a tidy report. We're going to trust you on that one. Secondly, you heard the possible recommendations from the members. The recommendations that you've taken note now of, the test will be whether it fits into the template of treasury or whatever treasury template this is. So if it fits in and it's discussed and analyzed and observed, then we can make a recommendation. If there's not a golden thread going through from the factual situation through the analysis through the observations through the recommendation, it's probably going to be problematic for whoever is going to receive this report. Because the template is very clear. It's very strict lines of reporting that you have to adhere to. Certain questions you have to ask, and it must field into one another. So if some of the issues that the members has raised is not part and parcel of the BRRR, we can accommodate it, as Comrade September has said, at another place, not to lose the point, but keep it on the agenda, to take it forward with the department. Is that the conclusion?
Yes.
So then we conclude. If you have a formal process we have to follow through to adopt this report, or can we just, it's not a thing we need to read to say we formally adopt the report. So I summarize, we adopt the report with a proviso that it will be tidied up and all the recommendations made today, see if it fits into this, it would, and you have the authority to complete the process. Can I just make, maybe I'm out of order, but I would suggest that at the end of the day, before you submit this report, just submit it for the final approval by the chairperson of the committee. He's not here at the moment, he's out of the country, so that he can just be, because it is his name, and he must sign it off, and I just want to give that provider that the chairperson can sign it off before you submit officially by next week. Is that okay? Can we accept that?
It's okay, chairperson, provided that you know when he's coming back.
Can anybody indicate to us when the chairperson will be back?
Before the deadline.
The deadline is only next week. But we asked the staff, the researcher and the committee secretary, just to find out whether it's possible for him to sign it off. Okay.
No. Why the essence of my saying so is seven.
Yeah.
You see, Monday is the 31st, right? And let's assume that is the deadline for submission. And the seven is here. Then the report is ready, but then you can't submit because it's less than 2 weeks. Then we must empower you to sign off on this now.
I can sign certainly very well.
We really want to welcome you, Mr. Nana, to make the closing remark. No, it's fine. It's fine. But also what Honorable September said, the chairperson is available by email. Email it to him if you finished and ask him to wherever he is to approve. Otherwise, if not, I'll approve on your behalf. Can we adjourn the meeting?
Yes.
Meeting is adjourned.
No, that's crazy. Today we don't have a meeting. Money matter.
Padak.
Thank you.